Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm going to speak about Surah Al-Ahzab today. This surah is a Madanan surah and it is the 33rd surah of the Quran. And if you could kindly recall, it's the last surah of the fourth group of the Quranic groups of surahs. The fourth group had eight Meccan surahs and it has only one Madanan surah. The central theme of this particular group is the description of prophethood, its responsibilities, the allegations against the prophets, and the responses to them. Surah Al-Ahzab is a unique surah which talks about the obligations of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, the different kinds of attempts made by the disbelievers to make an attempt to malign him and to undermine the message that he had brought forth. There are a number of important topics which this surah discusses. For instance, this surah emphasizes to the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, that his responsibility is to disseminate and discharge the message that has been given to him under all circumstances without fearing the repercussions and the possible criticism raised by the disbelievers. This surah also talks about the fact that Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, is the person who has been made the father of the entire ummah, and his wives are the mothers of the entire ummah. Nobody can marry them after his death. This surah also mentions the special status of the Prophet amongst the entire group of prophets. It also talks about the various different attempts made by the hypocrites and the disbelievers from amongst the Jews and the Nasara to malign and to scandalize his household. And it also talks about the fact that mankind was given the obligation of making an attempt to go through the process of the trial of this life only after this offer was made to a number of different other possible candidates. And when all of them refused, it was man who ultimately undertook the challenge. There are a number of important verses in this surah, all of which are worthy of our attention, all of which carry messages which are important for us to follow, to understand, and to learn important lessons from. For example, this particular surah, when it talks about the battle of Ahzab, the battle of Tich, wherein the Muslims were confronted with extremely difficult circumstances. They were surrounded from three sides by the disbelievers who had gathered as if from the entire Arabian Peninsula to make a final attempt to undermine and to subjugate the message of God. During this time, there were many hypocrites who were making an attempt to dishearten the believers. And they were trying their best to ensure that the fear of the disbelievers overtakes the minds and hearts of the believers. In this particular battle, there was an occasion when the Muslims were looking up to the Prophet for guidance, for learning a lesson from him through his example. And the Quran mentions that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Indeed, in the example of the Messenger of God, there is guidance and there is an excellent example. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخَرَ. For everyone who is looking forward to meeting God and looking forward to the life hereafter. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And for everyone who wishes to remember God in abundance. So that it was the Prophet who, through his boldness, through his courageous example, led the way and enabled the disbelievers to come to learn about the fact that during extremely trying and difficult circumstances, it is the belief in God and trust in Him which is the most important factor that believers should consider in order for them to fight against the enemies of God and to fight against the heavy odds and difficulties that they are facing. In this surah, we also find that all-important verse which talks about the finality of the Prophet. It says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ Muhammad, Allah's mercy be on him, is not the father of any of men from amongst you, O Muslims, وَلَاكِرْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ But he is the messenger of God, وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ And he is the seal of the prophets. He is the final prophet. He is the prophet after whom no other prophet will ever come. The word used in this particular verse is خَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ which is used for seal, which is used to connote that when the seal has been embossed, nothing can enter the object that has been sealed. The idea is that after the Prophet has arrived, the entire contingent of prophets has been completed and finished, and therefore it is as if he has arrived to emboss the seal of finality on the entire group of prophets. No further prophet can come after him. This is, of course, an extremely important status which the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, enjoyed. Because while all other prophets who had come to this world, they had a message for their own respective nations and for a particular duration, which was, of course, finite. But in the case of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, his message was meant for the entire mankind, and it was meant to be applicable for all times to come until this world would come to an end. So this, of course, is what the Quran has mentioned all along, that this is a message which is meant for the entire mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We have not sent you a messenger of God except as a mercy for the entire mankind. Because the message of Islam, the message of Quran, the message of Muhammad, Allah's mercy be on him, is not meant for a particular nation or a particular group of people. It is meant for the entire mankind. Likewise, we also find that in Surah Ahzab, the Almighty mentions that during the battle of Ahzab, there were many hypocrites who were making an attempt to dishearten the believers. And when they confronted with a difficult situation, they said that indeed Allah and His Messenger, God forbid, they had lied to us when they promised that we are going to have a bright future if we are going to follow Islam. And through their statements, they not only demoralized themselves, but made an attempt to discourage and demoralize the true Muslims. On the other hand, there were many strong, staunch Muslims who had firm faith in God, in the Messenger, in His book, and in the hereafter, who, after having witnessed the difficulties and trials in the Battle of Ahzab, they exclaimed, "Haza ma wa'adana Allahu wa Rasulu." This is exactly what Allah and His Messenger had promised. And وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ And indeed what Allah and His Messenger promised was correct. And this increased in them faith. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَوْفِيقًا It increased in them faith as well as adherence to Islam and their strength in their belief and in following the dictates of the message. So that what the Quran is telling us, that it all depends on what the attitude of an individual is. If somebody wants to be a hypocrite, somebody wants to create doubts in his minds about the message of God and its veracity, then of course it's up to the individual. He or she can allow himself or herself to fall prey to the whispering of Satan. But if there are people who want to be firm in their belief, who have sound character, who follow what has been given to them by the Almighty, with all the sincerity and confidence, the Almighty is not only going to help them in this worldly life, and the Quran promises that their faith and their commitment is also going to increase. We also find in this surah that God Almighty has given a number of measures that were required to be followed by the wives of the Prophet so that they stay away from the campaign that was launched by the hypocrites to malign and to scandalize the family and the household of the Prophet. So that, of course, the hypocrites knew that in order for them to undermine and to defeat the message of Islam, all that they need to do is to bring a bad name to the family of the Messenger of God. So that in order for the family to be protected from the evil campaign launched by the hypocrites, the Almighty required the wives of the Prophet to go through some measures of preserving themselves and keeping themselves away from the gaze of the common people, who included the hypocrites. They were given laws which were far more stringent, far more demanding than the laws that were required from the ordinary Muslim ladies to follow. And after having described all those laws, the Almighty mentions, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُزْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ Allah Almighty only wants, through these measures, that He should remove all filth, all dirt from you, Ahl al-Bayt, O people of the household of the Messenger, O wives of the Prophet, وَيُطَهِّرُكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا And He wants you to cleanse, to be cleansed completely and forever. That is, the Almighty wants that the evil campaign launched by the hypocrites should come to nothing. It should be completely negated and defeated by the measures that the Muslim, that the wives of the Prophet would adopt, and by their commitment, and by the understanding and clear commitment of the ordinary Muslims, who would not allow themselves to be influenced by the evil information that was attempted to be spread by the hypocrites. Surah Al-Ahzab also talks about the fact that this responsibility of going through the process of the trial of this life was offered by the Almighty, not only to humans, but to many other creatures of God Almighty. However, it so happened that the rest of the creatures did not allow themselves the opportunity to meet this challenge, to take up the challenge, and thus become eligible to enter the paradise. It was only humans, man, who accepted the challenge. The Quran says, إِنَّا أَرَدْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ Indeed, we offered the possibility of going through this trial to the heavens and the earth and the mountains. فَأَبَيْنَا أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَا مِنْهَا But they all refused to take up the challenge, and they feared from doing so. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ And indeed, it was man who took up the challenge. إِنَّهُ كَانَ زَلُومًا جَهُولًا He did so because he was Zaloom and he was Jahul. He did so because he had the ability to exaggerate the possibility of what he could do. And thus he was Zaloom. That is, he overestimated himself. He had the ability of achieving targets which were more than what he could achieve. This is one of the abilities of man, as well as his disabilities. Man has the ability to sometimes take up challenges which are far greater than what he can normally undertake. And it was this ability of man that enabled him to say, Oh God, yes, I am going to take up this challenge, wherein even though I'm going to go through a trial which is going to be a trial of freedom. I'll have everything to choose from, and yet I'll make sure that I'll follow the path of goodness, virtue and piety. This challenge was undertaken by humans because they were Zaloom. And it was taken by him because he was Jahul as well. He was emotional. He had the ability of undertaking huge targets, challenges, through his ability to be emotional about whatever target he sets forth for himself. So that God Almighty says that this is what he has offered to man, and man has taken up the challenge. Now what is going to happen is that in the hereafter, God Almighty is going to, on the one hand, reward the believing men and believing women, and on the other hand, He is going to give punishment to all those who went astray. And the Quran mentions towards its end that those who went astray were either the hypocrites or they were the ones who were polytheists, the mushrikun. That is, this life of ours is a trial, and it's a trial whereby we have two possibilities. If we take up the trial positively, if we follow the path that has been given to us by the Almighty, and do as best as we can to meet the challenge, He is going to ultimately come to our rescue and enable us to enter the paradise, which is a life of lasting happiness and contentment. On the other hand, if we reject this trial and follow the path which is the path of evil, the path of Satan, the path of all thoughts and ideas which are misleading, then we will end up in punishment, which the Almighty is going to inflict on all those who rejected God's offer. Now this surah, therefore, if we sum it up, is describing the purpose of why man came to this world, and also describes as to how man can succeed in this world through following the message of the messengers of God. And that message has come to its culmination, to its climax, through the arrival of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, who is the last of all prophets. And his message has as if completed the entire system of God's arrangement of prophets who have been coming from time to time to ensure that people are guided and given and shown the way to follow, to achieve salvation and to achieve God's pleasure and ultimately happiness. Now it is up to the believing Muslims to make sure that they not only recognize and acknowledge that the message that they have in the form of the Quran is followed by them properly in a manner that they are themselves worthy followers and worthy claimers of the fact that God had given them a message which they truly understood and truly valued and followed it properly. And they have also another important obligation to discharge, and that obligation is to let others know that this message is from God, and this message needs to be accepted and to be followed if people want to achieve ultimate success and salvation. However, if Muslims are not going to do what they are expected to do, if they are not going to understand the message the way it is, then the end result could be that they might find themselves in the eyes of God completely rejected and worthy of getting punished. So that although on the one hand the entire Quran gives this message in various different ways in its surahs, Surah Al-Ahzab, because it is the final surah of group 4, which entire group which describes important concept of prophethood. This particular surah is actually an excellent example of how the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, was himself able to discharge these obligations. How he himself confronted various different situations when he found himself in a difficulty while discharging his obligations. And yet he always was up to the mark and was able to ultimately succeed in the trials that the Almighty required him to go through. And it was a trial for the Prophet, for instance, when in the battle of Ahzab, he confronted difficult situations. There were hypocrites who were trying to create a situation through their propaganda whereby the Muslims would be discouraged and demoralized. But he stood firm on his ground and ensured that all Muslims who really believed properly should come together and follow him in ensuring that the dangers and the threats that had been imposed on them are adequately faced and God Almighty's message is properly followed. The messenger of God also ensured through his example the fact that at times it is possible that an idea is attempted to be practiced in right earnestness and sincerity, and yet it ultimately is unfolded through events, through the practical demonstration of the outcome of the events, that the idea was not exactly correct, and the Almighty wants something else to happen. And the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, indeed followed ultimately what the Almighty wanted him to do. There is an example in this surah where the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, required his cousin Zainab radiallahu anha to get married to Zaid radiallahu anhu, who was the emancipated slave who was under his custody, and he then freed him. In order to raise the status of the slaves, he required Zainab to get married to Zaid, so that Zainab, who belonged to the noble tribe of Quraysh, she, after having gotten married to Zaid, would ensure that people would know that as far as status of different humans is concerned, there's hardly any difference. It doesn't matter whether you belong to one family or the other. It so happened that the experiment did not last long, and the couple could not continue as a happy family. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to learn about the fact that this family is going to break very soon. And therefore, as soon as he realized that that is what is going to happen, he allowed himself to show it to the people, and in particular to the strained couple, that this arrangement is not going to continue anymore. And he then submitted himself to the arrangement that was decided by God Almighty. In that, he then decided, God decided, that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should get married to his cousin Zainab, and that was the important occasion when there were many hypocrites who were trying to launch this campaign as to how come could a man get married to a lady who got married earlier on to a person who was the declared son, the adopted son of the Prophet. The Almighty says that this was done not only to make sure that the inner feelings of the Prophet with regard to what had happened were satisfied, so that he had the comfort of knowing that if Zainab, she followed her instructions and went through a difficult, trying period, her inner feelings could be consoled through her getting married to the Prophet. On the other hand, the Almighty also wanted this practice of the days of ignorance to be demolished, wherein they thought that a man can never get married to the wife of an adopted son. This practice was also dislodged, and there were many other wrong practices which the Prophet, through his example, was able to do away in that society. And thus he became a model for the entire Muslim community and for the entire mankind, so that now if a man has to follow God's message and God's will properly, it is only the path that has been shown by the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, that really is the right path. May Allah Almighty enable us to understand the true status of Prophet Muhammad. May Allah enable us to understand the Quran properly and to follow it as best as we can.